5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Wade Barrett has been named the interim coach of the Houston Dynamo. This is Wade Barrett's job now to win, to get the full-time gig. That's the sense you get from the Houston Dynamo. I don't think there's any question. Before we get into more Wade talking, I want to get your thoughts tonight, Dynamo fans, and where are you, Dynamo fans? I want your thoughts on Wade Barrett being installed as an interim coach. I'm going to give you mine. He will be live tomorrow at the Gorgeous Gale between 4 and 6 tomorrow, as well as David Horst of the Houston Dynamo. We're going to get their thoughts on the Copa Centenario. Wade's on taking over as the interim manager of the Houston Dynamo and where they go from here. Going to be a big day down there. A lot of people in the soccer community are going to be down at 55-55 Morningside. So don't forget to get over there. The Gorgeous Gale is a great Irish pub over there. We're doing live radio. The Soccer Matters show is going to be there. Tascot 80, you're going to be there, right?
I will be there.
Yeah. So you're going to be there with me. Who's back here producing tomorrow?
I believe it's Ashton.
Ashton, okay. Very good. So we're going to have a great time down there. Irish pub, real Irish feel. If you haven't been there, 5555 Morningside. Great screens, monitors everywhere, great outdoor porch, open feel. You're going to love it. GorgeousGale.com. Get over there. And then a couple of our Soccer Matters official pubs, the Kingshead Pub, the Richmond Arms, and Bar Munich as well. All great establishments, all great people. Michael Holiday running Kingshead Pub, longtime Richmond Arms, and of course Bar Munich, our good friend Raymond down there as well. So great spots to watch tomorrow. But we do encourage you to come to live radio tomorrow. We're going to have a great time down there. All right, and a quick one here for Amigo Energy again. Summer's here. It means you have to sweat not just watching your favorite team, but also your energy bill. Amigo Energy wants to save you money, and they have a solution. If you sign up for Amigo Energy Basics 24, you'll receive a $50 bill credit exclusively for Soccer Matters listeners. If you're moving, call us first. If you're up for renewal, look us up and switch. Did you know Amigo Energy is a public utility commission 5-star rated provider? That's right. You get both great rates, great service from Amigo Energy. Don't delay. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. And sign up for Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299, 888-995-9299. For details on the $50 offer, go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. And again, shortly I think I'm going to give away some Copa tickets somewhere in this last hour, so be ready at 713-780-3776. All right, let's talk a little bit about Copa Centenario. What's stood out to you in this tournament? If you're a U.S. soccer fan, do we get through to the next round? What's your thoughts? And if, in fact, is Jurgen Klinsmann's job on the block tomorrow? I want to get some thoughts on that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Want your opinion on that as we continue to talk Copa Centenario. Euros have kicked off. France, one of the favorites, 2-1 win over Romania. If you saw that game today, what are your thoughts on France? I don't think there's any question. How they handle the pressure of being the host nation is going to be very important for them. 713-780-3776, again, is the number to call in. And again, the slate tomorrow of games, Albania, Switzerland, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., Wales and Gareth Bale against Slovakia. 2 o'clock, it's England-Russia. That's one I'm not missing. Then 4 to 6, we do live radio, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, over at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Be there. 6 o'clock, then, after the live radio, it's right into U.S.-Paraguay. 8 o'clock, Colombia-Costa Rica at Energy Stadium here in Houston, expecting 50,000-plus. To the phone lines and Howard. Howard, what do you got tonight?
Just checking in, talking about USA. I think they got a great chance to make it. I think all they have to do is really draw, and they'll probably move on just because of what they have 3 points. The other teams have Costa Rica with one and Paraguay with one, and Costa Rica has a terrible goal differential. So as long as we tie or draw with Paraguay, I think we're in.
Are you concerned about what that dynamic brings to the table? Because obviously the U.S. has to think about the way they play this game. But, I mean, you have to play to win as opposed to play to draw.
No, I agree with you. If you draw, you get second place. And I would assume you have to go up against Brazil, who's going to be first place in Group B. So you kind of have to go for the win so you can play an easier team in the next round.
Yeah, and I'm also talking about attitude as well, because I think it's a dangerous attitude if for the minute the game kicks off, you know, you're thinking, hey, we're playing for a draw here today. I hope the U.S. is not like that, but I also hope that their team shape, their focus, their concentration, all of that element is available from the opening kickoff against Paraguay, because it's going to be a notch up from Costa Rica. I don't think there's any question. And we saw what Colombia did to the United States.
Yeah, and I think it's an important game for Klinsmann. I think he'll have his boys ready. If you saw the Paraguay-Colombia game, Paraguay played Colombia close, and Paraguay even scored a goal against Colombia, something the USA couldn't do. So Paraguay's going to be a good team, and I think Klinsmann should have him ready. And I think his job's on the line if he doesn't make it to the next round.
If you're the head of U.S. soccer, is he done if they don't win?
I think he has to.
If they don't advance?
I think he has to go. He has to go.
Okay. Anything else on your mind?
Nope. I appreciate it. Enjoy listening.
Thanks for the call, Howard. We appreciate it. So Howard Wayne in there says he's optimistic about the U.S. tomorrow. Are you optimistic about the U.S. against Paraguay? If you're a Mexico fan, what is your takeaway from the Jamaica game last night? I've red flagged the fact that they looked a little bit suspect defensively. Do you think I'm off base here? And by the way, you don't have to agree with me. Stop agreeing with me, everybody. Somebody call in and disagree. Because that's what it's all about. It's all opinion. That's all. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. So with players like Griezmann, Payet, Pogba, France and the Euros, as a host, provided they handle that pressure cooker, they squeeze that pressure into a diamond, they can go very far in this. They're one of the favorites. Everybody said that. I don't think there's any question. Who else are favorites for you in the Euros? Obviously, Germany, always tournament tested. Nobody navigates tournaments in Europe like Germany. Thoughts on Spain? England's younger, a lot of pace, power, team speed, good blend of youth and experience. But sometimes you put the form of these teams coming into these tournaments out of the window. These just become huge opportunities. Teams morph into different things during this tournament. And you hear coaches and players, you know, we just want to enjoy the tournament. It is cliche, but it is true. It's a way of taking the pressure off. What about Belgium? I mean, Belgium trying to live up to that sort of golden generation of players they've had. Fellaini, Kompany, Hazard. Time's running out on them. They need to make something happen, Belgium. Germany, Thomas Muller, Manuel Neuer. Unbelievable. We saw Romania today. How much negative soccer do you think we'll see? Do you think we'll see more of that in the Euros than we have seen here with our matches in the Copa Centenario on U.S. soil? 713-780-3776. Czech Republic. If they try to play open, I think that could backfire on them. Croatia's got, listen to this, Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic, up and down in qualifying. But, I mean, if these types of players get rolling in a European tournament, in a short tournament, where anything can happen, and there's no telling. That's a lot of strength in midfield right there. Republic of Ireland, Robbie Keane of Major League Soccer on that team. He's not going to be starting. Boy, the Euros. We're going to get into that a little bit tomorrow and on Tuesday as well, as that tournament begins to go a little bit deeper. I don't think there's any question. It's a lot to talk about there as well. All right, so today, I mean, you may have seen the images of Muhammad Ali's funeral in Louisville. So here's an interesting soccer tie with Muhammad Ali. And by the way, if you go to my website, if you go to Facebook Soccer Matters, we post all kinds of really cool stuff up there. I challenge you there. Lots of videos, all kinds of things going on there. Posted an iconic picture of Pelé in his final game. And I was at the Meadowlands that day. And Muhammad Ali came on the field, and there's just an iconic picture of Pelé going up to Ali that is up on our Facebook page. It's Soccer Matters. Head over there, like us if you want. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, glendavissoccer.com. We're getting that up and rolling again, too, so head over there. But here's what Ali, who died on Friday night, and obviously touched a lot of sport, and even soccer. One of his greatest quotes in the 70s came when Ali recorded a video message for former Derby County manager Brian Clough. Here's what Ali said, quote, "There is some fella in London named Brian Clough, some soccer player or something. I heard all the way in Indonesia that this fella talks too much. He says," speaking of Clough, "that there is another Muhammad Ali. There is just one Muhammad Ali. I'm the talker. Now, Clough, I've had enough. Stop it." That was Ali on Brian Clough. Clough died in 2004. He did meet Ali in 1974. But those were two that were cut from very, very different molds. I don't think there is any question. There was also another great story I heard on the radio today about Ali had just won a title fight. He was sitting, I think, in first class, and they were about to take off, and the stewardess said, "Mr. Ali, you got to put your seatbelt on." And Ali said something like, he said something about the seatbelts, and
I heard it.
Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
Help me out
don't,
here.
Superman don't need no seatbelts. And she said something to the effect of, Superman
doesn't
need
a
plane.
Yeah. That was pretty good. I wonder who that stewardess was. That's funny. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now. Pair of tickets to the Copa Centenario right now for the sixth caller. Now, here's what you're going to have to do, though. You're going to have to come to the Gorgeous Gale between 4 and 6 tomorrow to get them. But the sixth caller right now is going to get a pair of tickets to Colombia, Costa Rica. By the way, these seats are in section 108. Good seats. These tickets don't come cheap for this event. I've got a pair of tickets right now. Sixth caller at 713-780-3776. You will be instructed to pick these up at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside, between 4 and 6 tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Seeing the turnover, Jones slides it ahead of Dempsey by himself at the moment. Now he's joined by two teammates. He's got Bedoya on the right. Dempsey cuts, still has it for Jones. Low shot, go! Jermaine Jones!
Dynamo trying to get some players in front of the ball here. Here's Wenger now against Figueroa. Knocks it inside. Two guys confronting. Shot the goal! What a hit from Rico Clark! It would take Rico Clark to get the Dynamo back in this one, and he has done it. That is a laser that absolutely flashes like a blurry orb.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters as we roll on. Quick mention here for a couple of things. Again, we go live tomorrow at the Gorgeous Gale between 4 and 6. Wade Barrett, the interim manager of the Houston Dynamo, will be in the house live tomorrow doing an interview with me. That's a great treat. David Horst, Dynamo center back, will be there. Tom Marshall, VSPN FC, also will be there. And who am I missing? Oh, Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes. Tyler, by the way, I just got a text message from Thomas Rongen. Just give him a call and let him know if it's okay. 15 minutes or so, we call him back, okay? Because right now, we've got the one and only Eddie Robinson, my partner on Root Sports. The Houston Dynamo defender, MLS Cup winner, joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, but I just need to let you know that this short notice is going to double my feet.
Two racks of ribs, and a case or two of Bud Light. It's coming your way, Eddie. Listen, you just were telling me during break there was just an unbelievable finish in the Copa Centenario between Bolivia and Chile.
It was fun to watch. I mean, it was, you know, Bolivia came back, drew 1-1. There's 8 minutes of stoppage time. We've got MLS ref Jair Marufo in the middle. The Bolivian players are milking it, and Jair Marufo gives a handball. And for those of you out there that were watching, I believe it was a handball. The defender sticks his elbow up in the air. Jair Marufo is signaling this to the Bolivian players. For about 5 minutes, they're yelling at him. He finally gets set up with it, gives a yellow card. Arturo Vidal steps up, scores his second goal of the game. Then not 30 seconds later, at the other end, Bolivia blows a golden opportunity, which I think should have been finished to tie the game 2-2. It was an amazing finish. It was quite entertaining. Good start to the night. Now, hopefully, the rumors are true. Messi's going to play here in a few minutes against Panama. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. And listen, Panama, you know, and as you and I have seen with Panamanian players in Major League Soccer and what they've done in Gold Cups and CONCACAF, boy, they're a really interesting story because, man, they have some sort of an edge, you know. I think based on the way their federations run and based on trying to, you know, climb the ladder in CONCACAF and get amongst the Mexicos and the U.S.s.
Yeah, they just seem like they don't care. Like they go into every game like they have nothing to lose. They're not going to care they're going to play against Argentina tonight. I've got a feeling that Panama is going to give them a run for their money for at least the first 45. Argentina may, you know, their class and their quality may come out late in the second half, but, you know, Blas Perez, he almost reminds me of somebody that's made a deal with the devil. The guy just scores goals when you're like, wait, what? How old is he? What? I wouldn't be surprised if they score a goal tonight.
I'll tell you, Blas Perez to me is just, I look at him and I say, what a pain in the you-know-what to play against.
No, absolutely. He was, even reminds me of Carlos Ruiz a little bit from the whole LA Galaxy and FC Dallas rivalry.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one tonight. All right, so let's talk a couple things here. First of all, how about some general thoughts from you, Eddie, on the Copa Centenario, and then I'll kind of tag you with mine as well, but I want to hear yours.
I love it. There have been a couple of games that have been difficult to watch, but you know, you go to the Argentina-Chile game. What a fun game to watch. Both of Mexico's games have been just outstanding. And, you know, the way they put it on Uruguay, Chicharito. I'm never going to root for Mexico in anything, but I'm always going to root for Javier Hernandez. The guy just has something about him. He's a good person, and you just root for him. The way things went at Manchester United and Real Madrid, and to see him now, and to see all of these players in the United States, and the fans get to see a different brand of soccer in person that they don't get to usually see. I mean, you know, no question about it, but this is a higher level than Major League Soccer, and all these cities that have MLS teams, people now get to see another level, and all these people, you know, a lot of the media has been talking about, you know, all of Mexico's games are going to be home games, and you know, not just the United States. And there's a lot of countries that have tremendous support here in the United States, and I'm really glad to see it here. You know, with the infrastructure, with everything, that this is, I wish they'd have this tournament here every, you know, 4 to 8 years.
Yeah, well, there's some pining for that because let's not forget there's a tremendous amount of money being made on this. We are going to see it with the Colombians tomorrow night over at Energy Stadium. Expected 50,000 people, that's going to be pretty fascinating to see what unfolds there. And by the way, you know, and I've been talking about this a lot, Eddie, if you know, there's 50 for that game, Mexico's going to sell out, semis are going to sell out. You know, you're talking about 190,000 people for three games.
Well, listen, I don't know if you caught it, Glenn. I mean, it's been going around Twitter, but Colin Cowherd today on his talk show, The Herd, made an excellent, excellent argument that soccer has become the number four sport in the country, in the United States, passing hockey. And he's not just talking about MLS. He's talking about men's and women's. He's talking about Copa Centenario. He's talking about the Euros that started today with France and Romania, but he made a really good point for it, and how easy it is to play, and how much it's taken on with kids, and how much more relevant soccer is in this country than hockey. And I think it's a great point, and I think soccer's going to continue.
Yeah, I'm not sure it wasn't already. You know, I mean, I think that's a great radio topic. I mean, do you think we even care anymore? I think it's just arrived now that you don't have to get upset when it's bashed. It's here in so many shapes and forms. It's here at so many levels. Now it's about polishing it and sort of bringing this melting pot of people together. It's about producing better players in this country and continuing that ascent, which has certainly climbed. The league continues to grow. It's such a unique country, though, when it comes to comparisons.
It's a mainstream sports media talk show that is actually talking up soccer instead of talking bad about it. I mean, we saw a couple weeks ago, Mike Francesca just absolutely destroying a read on David Villa in New York City FC. I mean, it was embarrassing. And you look at a lot of these ESPN and these Fox Sports shows that always demean soccer and say that it's no good and say that its players are soft. And for me, it's a stepping stone in the right direction that finally a mainstream daily sports talk show is giving that much credit to our sport.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he's a guy with a big following and a big show, and that, you know, he's kind of like a, you know, Mike and Mike, and those guys are big. I mean, then you take that to the level of mainstream here in Houston, and not so much.
Yeah,
not so much. I mean, my guys here that are before me, Fred Fowler and AJ on the Blitz, certainly respect the sport. I get that, and they're very kind about that. But I do think that from a business standpoint, people see it saleable now. People see the interest in it. You know, I've been slogging through radio for many, many years, and it's been a slow build, but it's a good one. We've got people that are calling in now. We see national TV contracts on television for MLS. We had World Cup ratings on the radio that even ESPN had no idea were going to go through the roof. Back in 2014. So, you know, it's pretty fascinating. Hey, Eddie, take a listen to this. I think this is what you're talking about.
If I'm Sports Illustrated, how do I put 10 pages, including the cover, on a magazine where not one person in a sports radio station has ever heard of Copa America? Not one person in the station has ever heard of it in New York City. Not one person. Forget me. Not one person here has ever heard of it.
Nobody in New York City has ever heard
of it. I do know how to pronounce that. It was just a slip of a tongue. That I do know what it is. The bottom line is, soccer, I have no interest. Zero. And in America, to do sports, you don't have to have any interest in soccer at all. Soccer has never crossed our desk in 30 years. But my point is, what is Sports Illustrated doing? Looking for a new market? They must be, because why would you put 10 pages of that stuff? Nobody's going to read it. I couldn't find one person here who ever heard of Copa America.
All right, cut Mike off. I've had enough of Mike. That's some funny stuff because, first of all, he says nobody in New York's ever heard of the Copa America, which kills me. And then he goes, well, nobody here, soccer's never come across my desk, because obviously at his radio station, nobody is being hired that gives a damn about soccer. So it's pretty funny. I think it's part shtick and just part ignorance.
I think it's a little bit of shtick, but it is ignorance. It shows how old and outdated the guy is. I mean, it's pretty pathetic that he doesn't realize that MLS sold its broadcast rights for just under $1 billion prior to last season. A billion with a B. He doesn't know that. And if you tell him that, maybe that just makes him think a little bit. It won't change his mind. He's old and outdated, and you know he only cares about baseball, football.
All he has to talk about in New York is the Yankees, first of all. And then second of all, if he doesn't like soccer, I don't know why he was talking about it. But anyway, oh, and he called, what was very funny, too, was he called David Villa, David Villa.
Yeah, he didn't know. He goes, Is it Villa or Villa? Somebody tell me what it is.
That's awesome.
I want to get his name right.
All right, let me switch gears here now, and let me just lead you into your former teammate now has been named the interim manager. He's going to be out at the Gorgeous Gale tomorrow between 2 and 4, Wade Barrett. We're going to do an extensive interview with him. Talk to me about Wade, your teammate, where you see him as a coach, surprised or not surprised from Eddie Robinson, because, hey, this is a man you played next to for many, many years and were very successful with.
I'm not surprised. He spent a lot of time under Dominic Kinnear as a player and as a coach, and we know how successful Dominic was. The thing that, you know, one of the things that kind of gets me is why was he not given the job when Dominic left? We heard Matt Jordan come out in the media and say, you know, we think it's appropriate to look, you know, someone in North America or with MLS experience. Well, you went and hired someone without MLS experience, so now you made a mistake and now you're changing it. Why wouldn't that have been what you had done in the first place? I think Wade was absolutely qualified. I think the fans, I think the front office, I think everybody in Houston would be behind him. I'm extremely disappointed that it took this long for Wade to get the job.
Yeah, now I'm gonna look at it completely different than you, and I know you and I differ on this, and that's the beauty of one's opinion from the outside. So I would have said if the Dynamo were going to play the foreign manager card like they did with Owen Coyle, who, English Premier League and Championship, if they were going to play that card, which is sort of a controversial card and an out-of-the-box card because there have been very few managers in MLS, as Eddie and I know and you know out there listening, that have been successful in this league. Gary Smith won a title with Colorado, but very few have been successful. So it was a bit of a risk, but to not go with a Hispanic coach at that point just baffled me a little bit because I think you could have learned a lot of things and you could have stretched the off-field thing with the obviously with the Hispanic community and engaged them. That would have been fascinating to see either pan out positive or not, but you would have learned a lot from that. I don't think we've learned that much from the Owen Coyle reign.
We didn't, but I don't think that having a Hispanic coach would have done any more than having all the Hispanic players that we have as far as community outreach.
I spent quite a bit of time in the Dynamo office, and I think a lot more could be done as far as outreach goes to the Hispanic community. I don't think enough's done. We have the players. We have Eric Torres. We have Leonel Miranda. We have Boniac Garcia. We have players that are famous in those communities, that those communities want to see, want to be around. I don't think enough's done, to be honest, Glenn. And I don't think that a Hispanic coach would have done anything in those areas to really improve it. I like the idea that MLS teams employ former players on coaching staff and let them learn and get their feet wet. I mean, I think maybe Jay Heaps is the one exception. He went, he didn't have any coaching experience. He went from the television booth, what you and I are doing, to coaching. But I like that because these players know what it takes to succeed. It's not conventional. What you're seeing in the Euros, what you're seeing in Copa America on the national team level, the quality of soccer, MLS is not there yet. Nobody will argue that. So you have to understand what it takes to win in Major League Soccer. And former players that have won championships, that have spent 10-plus years in the league, they know.
And yeah, but I agree with that, and I am the same as you. I'm excited that former players are getting opportunities. That doesn't mean that certain markets can't try something different. And there were candidates out there, in my opinion, that could have helped the youth setup here, could have drawn fans, could have engaged the community, were great tacticians, and would have been a wonderful wonderful coaches, and I think would have been successful here. I don't think, when you talk Efrain Flores, you talk Vucetich, if you're going to take a chance on one of those types of coaches, this is the market to do it in because the payback could be monstrous. It could be monstrous potentially. But anyway, don't disagree with you either on former players. I'm really pulling for Wade. I found it very interesting, Eddie, talking with your former teammate because he's sort of blossomed now. Wade, I think, is obviously very articulate, very defined, has a real plan, and he's a real realist, which is really, really refreshing to me.
Yeah, there's a few things about Wade. Anybody that knows Wade knows that he's always been very quiet, for the most part. He's not an outgoing person. He's not going to own the room when he walks in. He doesn't want to. He doesn't feel like he needs to. But like you just said, he's extremely smart, and now he's in charge. And I see exactly what you're saying. I was curious when they first named Wade. Wade's kind of quiet. Does he have the temperament to be a boss, to be in charge, to show these players, hey, I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. And I think he's done that, especially in some of his interviews. I'm curious to see if what his team selection is going to be come next Saturday against DC United. I think he's learned a lot about his team and a lot about certain players in these last two road games. And I know that he got draws, and that hasn't happened. That's 2 points on the road, and before that, there were none. But those were two games that Dynamo should have won, and I hope that deep down inside, that's kind of burning him up because I know what kind of competitor he is because I got to play with him. So hopefully he's going to come in, and he's going to hold these guys to the same standards that he held his teammates and himself to when he was captain of the Dynamo.
Outstanding, Eddie. Thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it. And a nice update on the Copa Centenario. I love that as well. And I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, Eddie.
All right, buddy. You owe me dinner.
Yes, sir.
All right.
One and only Eddie Robinson. I wonder what Thomas Rongan's going to want from me when we bring him back. TR's coming on the show. By the way, former under-20 national team coach, assistant with the U.S., former professional player, played with the great Johan Cruyff. We had him on a couple weeks ago to talk Cruyff. And Thomas will bring us some great Copa Centenario stuff. Also, MLS Cup winner with DC United, remember, as a manager. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Bud Light reminds you that, people say the country's divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot. Puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos. Three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas, Messi, Cristiano. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light party and myself tomorrow between 4 and 6 live, Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5.
are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, 1-0 Argentina. Six-minute Otamendi with a header off a Di Maria set piece. I think that's what we're hearing. And we welcome in right now. Great friend, personally, great guy, and has done some amazing things in the world of soccer during his career as both a player and a coach. Thomas Rongen. Thomas.
How are you doing, Glenn? Great to be on.
Buddy, we bring you back big because you're big. We bring you back with some big AC/DC there.
I love it.
I love. All right, talk to me a little bit about what you're doing with BN Sport, and then give us your general kind of thoughts so far on the Copa Centenario.
Currently, I'm doing a nightly show. It's called The Extra, the midnight for half an hour, and recaps basically the games in the Copa America, and obviously today starting with the Euros as well. We got a great panel of very interesting people. Phil Shane being one of them. Ray Hudson coming back pretty soon. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I bet it has. And it's now you're going to be double dipping here with the Euros going on right now. So how about just your general thoughts so far at this point with the Copa America Centenario and some things that have stuck out to you?
Well, I think what we see is what we expected. Brazil slowly getting to the form that it can, with obviously a lot of injuries and players that were admitted. Silva, David Luiz, we see some younger players coming to the forefront. Gil being especially one of them in the back that only played six times for Brazil. Coutinho finally pulling the strings in midfield because he feels he just doesn't have that pressure of other big stars around him. And then Argentina, clearly, even without Messi, being up 1-0, probably going to 6 points and easily winning that group. Now, Panama has been a little bit of a success story, you know, in the first game. Blas Perez, the place in MLS for Vancouver, has scored 2 goals for them as well. Venezuela now, first time they've won 2 consecutive games in Copa America at 6 points. So that's a bit of a surprise. And the U.S. obviously is a mixed bag right now. Huge game coming up tomorrow. For the U.S. national team, and Jurgen Klinsmann for that matter, but the usual suspects, with the exception of Uruguay, were a big disappointment, will be there in the end, Colombia, Ecuador being obviously teams that that could make it to the Final Four as well.
All right, before we get to U.S.-Paraguay, we got a nice solid 8 minutes with you here. Let's just talk about Mexico-Jamaica last night. Any red flags with Mexico's play without the ball last night?
Well, I mean, Juan Carlos Osorio, who happens to be a very good friend of mine, and picked my brain when he first came to the United States about playing out of the 3-4-3, the Arenas Migos, late 60s, early 70s, Ajax, which he brought eventually to Barcelona, morphed into a 4-3-3. And he was really, he wanted to play that. He went to Colombia, couldn't do it. He went to Sao Paulo, where I met him again. And finally, in the first game, I saw Mexico playing very daring out of a 3-4-3, getting some great results, obviously, beating a very good team, and correctly so. And then the next game, they got exposed against Jamaica defensively, lack of speed. Rafa Marquez got a little bit, although obviously great for them going forward, scoring a winning goal for Mexico in the first game. Made Osorio halftime going back to a 4-3-3, which is probably smart. Right now, they look like the team to beat at home, pretty much, you know, playing in the southern states for a lot of people again, and are clicking on all cylinders. Chicharito getting his goal, Guerrero, although a red card, will be back in the lineup. Layún, obviously, doing his things. Peralta coming off the bench. What a great luxury to have.
Yeah,
Peralta off the bench and scoring a goal. So they're very deep, they're talented, and I think they're very well coached.
Yeah, Mexico is likely going to run into Chile and Argentina then, I guess, in the quarterfinals, right?
Well, yeah, the way it looks right now, it will be. Yeah. But Chile, thank God for that that goal, obviously, to get them to 2-1 and get them to 3 points. And potentially with I think it's Panama coming up, they can go to 6 points, number two in the group. They'll look at a clash court against Mexico. Now, Chile, just like Uruguay, under their new coach, Pizzi, has not looked great either, Glenn. They look like almost a little bit of an aging team right now that doesn't have a lot of answers going forward. It's very slow in the ball circulation. I think Mexico's got a chance against this team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very exciting, too. Mexico actually just got here, as you know, to Houston tomorrow night. Colombia and Costa Rica, supposed to be 50,000, and then the next two games we have down here is Mexico, Venezuela, and then, of course, a semi. So those games are going to sell out. We're going to go through 190,000 people for three games.
Wow.
It's going to be crazy. let's just talk about the U.S. now. Do you like the stability now of a back four or maybe even a back five with Michael Bradley?
Yeah, I really do. I question still, why did it take so long to figure that one out? I was doing some stuff for being just on the right of the away games of the U.S. national team in Guatemala, where a listless team got thumped by a poor Guatemala team on paper, had to rebound in a must-win situation again to keep their, really not their hopes alive, but put them in a position where they could still go through in the hex. And very similar, losing against Colombia, which is probably expected. Played some decent football, according to Klinsmann, although negative possession, sideways possession, doesn't get you anywhere. Colombia's played a great game, Glenn. You can come, we counter, and we get you on a set piece. So, yes, finally, in two or three friendly games building up to this tournament, Glenn, he started to figure out, put the pieces together, play players, first and foremost, in the correct positions. Yetlin, you're a right fullback. I'm not going to experiment anymore with you playing as a right winger. Cameron, you're a right fullback. You're going to play as a center back. Brooks, you've done very well in the Bundesliga. You're the guy going forward, left-footed center back. And Fabian Johnson, you could probably play in midfield, but we need you there because that's the problem spot. It's probably a good selection as well. Michael Bradley, I finally figured out you are better as a deep-lying midfielder, although he causes a turnover that leads to the handball of Yetlin in the first game. But that's still, when Michael plays for me, that was his best position. And I knew going forward, that will be his best position. So Jones, all of a sudden, shows, again, the energy that he needs to bring each and every game for him to be effective. And then the other one people question, Clint Dempsey all of a sudden gets that goal and two assists, and all of a sudden the Nagbys of the world and Pulisic are not that important anymore. And what I did like, Glenn, after the loss, we went back to the same 11. I have faith in you guys. You've played well together for the last two or three games. Yes, it was a loss against Colombia. I'm going to trot that same 11 out there. He could easily succumb to pressure of you, me, and everybody else in the United States and play the players that we think need to be on the field. So I give him some kudos for that.
Yeah, that was a great description, Thomas. Listen, we're up on a hard break. We got a minute to leave. That's excellent. I really appreciate your thoughts on the U.S.-Paraguay, and I think my listeners will like that too. It's always great catching up with you. My best to Phil and Ray down there, and keep up the great work on BN. And I look forward to having you on the show again. We have a little bit more time next time.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it, dude.
Always the best. Hey, I had to go through your agent, by the way, Gail.
Okay, she's doing great. I will.
It's awesome. She does a great job of providing the shield.
She certainly is.
All right, Thomas. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man.
All right, Thomas Rangan. He's done it all in Major League Soccer, player and coach, certainly, and assistant coach. Has been to World Cups, you name it. Good stuff from him. All right, for Task Scott, I thank you very much, Tyler Scott, for great work here. Again, tomorrow between 4 and 6, we're doing this show live at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Follow me on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters, is where you can find us, glenndavissoccer.com. Also, a thanks to all our great sponsors, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Amigo Energy, Bud Light, Gorgeous Gale, Richmond Arms, Bar Munich, 7-Up. We appreciate so much the great support that we have from 7-Up. We will see you tomorrow with the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit at 5555 Morningside, the Gorgeous Gale, 4 o'clock tomorrow. We'll see you there.
ESPN 97.5.